Roth Radio. Well, we're back in the fight. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Join me, David Lee. David Lee Roth. Go for it. Be young. Swing on. We're talking political cartoons now. We started off with the trucker issue, and that expanded into something even larger. I referenced the Cagle cartoon. This is the fellow named Cagle. That's his last name. I don't recollect his first name, and I believe it was in the New York Post the other day, my favorite newspaper. And I don't know if this was page six, but we would not be surprised, would we? And evidently, this has caused even more stir than the trucker issue here, in that there was a cartoon, and I'm even hesitant to use the word cartoon, because we always think that when we hear the word cartoon, that there's something funny involved. Many cartoons are funny. If you read Archie cartoons, Archie and Veronica, well, Veronica's not funny, is she? I'm serious, you know. If you Dennis the Menace is a cartoon, okay? Perhaps we should call this political cartoon a political. Geez, would it have more impact if it was an actual photograph? What if it was a photograph of a soldier who had lost his limbs horribly? And I am totally on the sides of the soldiers here, okay? I want to declare that first and foremost. And you had a government official with a clipboard who was actually saying to him, well, from the looks of things, you're pretty much just battle-hardened. It's not meant to be funny at all. And now if you think of it in terms of it being a photograph, it's triply horrifying, and it makes the statement that would go around the world the same as this caricature, the same as this cartoon, okay? We don't have that photograph, and I can't imagine that any government official would allow themselves to be photographed like that. So how do you attract attention to the issue? If you just wave a flag and go, hey, we got a problem over here. Well, everybody's waving flags. Everybody's got a problem. I don't care if it's Hurricane Katrina or if it's, you know, what's happening in Hollywood to Paris Hilton lately or what's going on with the president. We need oil or et cetera. Everybody is waving flags. And we have learned to wear blinders like on horses. We've learned to try and get through the day without paying attention. And only the squeakiest wheel gets the grease in our culture. Only the nail that sticks up above all the rest is the one that gets the attention, okay? And I don't know that there was any other way that we could get attention to this in a more dramatic, harsh, shocking way, because there's been plenty of television shows, and we really haven't caught up with the problem, and there's a problem. The way we take care of our soldiers when they come back, the way we take care of them when they're there, when we send them over there, there are a lot of issues there. As soon as I go, well, there's a lot of issues. Well, we learn to shut down our ears, don't we? A lot. That sounds metric to me. I don't want to start counting problems. I got a lot of problems on my own, we all say. A cartoon like this is not meant to be funny, and the issue is not meant to be funny, and what they're pointing a finger at is not the soldier, but the soldier's predicament at the hands of the individual who has decided to downgrade their calamity and the terror of their future and say, oh, that's just a little bug bite. I have a problem with that guy. It's not aimed at the soldier. It's in support of the soldier. Call up and argue with me. 866-313-3733. Andrea, go ahead. You're on, Andrea. David Lee Roth, you're in.
I'm not quite sure how this was portrayed, but in Denmark, there was a cartoon about with Muhammad wearing a turban, and there was a bomb on top of it. And now Muslims all around Europe have boycotted any thing from Denmark, any Danish product, anything. I don't know the situation of the cartoon, but thousands have been laid off, and companies have gone out of business, and the country has supported the artist, and the artist won't apologize for the cartoon. The owner of the newspaper apologized if it caused any grief, but this is a big thing in Europe, and we haven't heard anything about it.
I have a news item here. What happened is in September, a Danish newspaper ran caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad. So it's a fellow with a turban and a beard, and instead of the turban, they have a bomb, like an old Felix the Cat round bomb with a fuse on it. And this was deemed offensive by some Muslims. Of course it was. The drawings were later reprinted in several other Euro newspapers. On Thursday the 12th, masked gunmen approached the office of the EU commission in Gaza. Three jumped on the outer wall and the rest took up position at the entrance. And a leaflet signed by a Fatah militia and the militant Islamic Jihad group said the EU charges, hey, a lot of threats, etc. We give the Danish, French, and Spanish governments 48 hours to officially apologize or else. That's what you're reflecting on, correct?
Yes, sweetie.
Okay, now do you think that they're out of line for this kind of a reaction, or do they have every right for it?
I think they're a little out of line.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you. What about the greater issue of creating what we call cartoons? And again, cartoons are not meant to be funny, particularly for adults all the time here. You're calling attention to issues. Do you think that this is okay in the United States? For example, we have the same issue about the picture of the poor soldier, the amputee, and potentially what is one of our authority figures making fun of his condition. Does that strike you as offensive or something that calls attention to an issue?
I think it calls, and we must pay attention to this issue, and it's just the way it's been, it was gone about, maybe, you know, upsetting to, and the hair stuck up behind your neck, but that's a good thing. Then that should happen, and we should do something about it. I think that the government should be incredibly embarrassed.
I think the government is superbly embarrassed in that, in terms of, you know, causing the shock, you
what
bet.
What are they going to do about it, though?
Well, okay, look, we can spend our time sitting around Indian style on Oprah Winfrey here and say,
right,
it's tragic that we can't just talk about these things, but we all know better. No, you can't just talk about it. You got to wake people up. And some people just don't pay attention until there's a shocking element. Evidently, that includes some of the people who are responsible for the health and care and well-being of our soldiers, not necessarily the other soldiers, but you're constantly seeing this on the TV set of these poor guys coming back to their families in pieces. They're not being taken care of financially. They're not being taken care of in the finest tradition medically. Yeah, we're making advances, but nowhere's near what these poor kids and their commanding officers deserve and have every right to have the most of. What I'm real tired of is people going, well, it's unfortunate that we can't just talk. We already know that.
Right. Maybe you could put on your website phone numbers to call if people want to help out.
I'll research that as soon as we finish on work here today.
I'll email it to you.
Please. Oh, I have this information here. But you know what? We'll dig up some of these websites. I have some info on this. Thanks for giving us a call. 866-313-3733. Go ahead. Dial them up here. Brian is on Roth Radio. You're talking to David Lee. What's cooking?
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Excellent, Brian.
I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years. I was a survivor of the Beirut bombing.
Okay, certainly.
Desert Storm. Now, that cartoon, I laughed my rear end off. Because to me, I was just telling the guy who answered the phone, that they're poking fun of, like, the VA administration. Because these guys coming home from Iraq are not getting, they're in a category position. I can't really, they're like, depending upon your injuries, depending upon what you've been through, is how you get to be seen. Now, I got to go down to VA this morning when I'm done with work and to see my primary care physician. It's taken me a year to see him. And it's going to be an all-day fiasco down there because I have to wait. You have to get shuffled around. And it's kind of sad the way they're treating our veterans. And I always hear people say, well, I'm against the war, but I support the troops. I'm like, well, how do you support them? And one girl said to me, well, how should I? I go, well, go down to a VA hospital. Go visit a veteran who's bedridden for a couple months. Bring him a magazine. Bring him a couple books. Bring him a pack of cigarettes if he smokes. And then they'll say, well, gee, smoking's not good for you. I say, well, neither is taking a bullet, but they did it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
I completely know what you're saying here. And I think what's happened is that you have to embarrass the individuals who are responsible for this kind of creep show care. The individuals who are responsible for all that horrifying lack of whatever it is, body armor or taking care of our guys and gals who come back in pieces. What I'm seeing on the television is horrifying, and it's nowhere near close to the kind of care level wise that they absolutely positively deserve. So what do you have at your hand? Because if you just keep waving your hand and say, we need to do something over here, we need to do something over here, we become numb to the voices. We finally shocked people, and you better hope that people in the government and in all of those positions of authority are embarrassed and humiliated to death. until they finally wake up and start to initiate some kind of progress in, okay, here's an initiative here, we got to vote on this, we have to appropriate money for this, here's the children's activity program to develop money for this, and we're going to train more people for this. And the only way that you're going to get a lot of these people to get functional is to embarrass them, humiliate them, throw the spotlight on them over and over and over again. And the most painful thing to the biggest monkey in the tree is when all the other monkeys are laughing at them. I don't think anybody's laughing at the soldier. What do you think?
No, I don't. Not at all. I like I said, coming from the background I come from, you know, I a 19-year-old kid, and I was over in Beirut, I saw absolute horror. And then reading this cartoon, this guy's got it right on the money. I mean, this cartoonist, whatever his name is, he's poking fun of not the soldier, but the people responsible for taking care of the soldier.
I'm 100% with you. Thanks for calling in. 866-313-3733. That fellow was a Marine for 8 years, sat through the Beirut bombing and a whole lot of other horrifying calamity here. He deserves every possible state-of-the-art, first-class, top-drawer, top-shelf care. I don't care if it's the Kevlar he wears on his skull or the gurney that he has to be rolled around in. If he even catches the flu, you have to protect these guys. And we're talking about guys and women as well. I don't care if it's in the aviation or the foot soldier. I don't care if it's the kid running the computer or the guy in recon running up in the front there, okay? They deserve absolutely the best. And I think this was the most positive thing, because behaving, because being calm, being accepting and sensitive got us nowhere. Finally, somebody started making fun of the big monkeys, the most painful, humiliating thing to a monkey. And the monkeys are going to retire their clipboards, and if we continue the pattern, then they're going to start to move. At least we're all facing in the same direction here. 866-313-3733. Phil, David Lee Roth,
hey,
talk to me.
Good morning. How you doing over there?
Thanks, Phil. Yeah.
Hey, Dave, as that cartoon, first of all, if it goes on eBay, I'm bidding the first $1,000 to get it.
You got a point.
Okay. Now, that cartoon did its job. I mean, absolutely. All right. As the, it's a statement issue as well. I mean, obviously. Years ago, a town called Holland Park in New Jersey, my roommate at the time was an artist. And there was like three or four bank robberies during a case of 1 month, and like eight rapes of girls. In this little town, it's only like 2 miles long. There was a dozen robberies. So my friend made this cartoon of an officer as a pig, oink oink, you know, in a uniform and all.
Certainly.
Yeah, and all these cars were parked in the street, and this was the thing, how they always generated their money, was giving parking tickets after 10 p.m. I got one at like 8 minutes after 10. Okay. Anyhow, the thing was, welcome to Highland Park, New Jersey. You could rape, rob, and steal. Just don't park on the streets after 10 p.m.
Okay.
In the background, there was guys going through houses, loading out TVs, and girls getting raped, and there was a guy just giving out a dozen parking tickets. What we did, we made about 100 copies on a Xerox machine. We put them on telephone poles, and it was a statement thing.
Okay, that is political activism in its most basic sense. It's the same as the Revolutionary War, running around and putting up something that makes fun of the king, putting up cartoons that makes fun of the British, etc., and trying to rally the Minutemen and everybody else back in Massachusetts. This is a very, very old tradition. It's the same thing that happens up in North Korea occasionally, and not frequently enough now. Occasionally, somebody gets the marbles up to go and paint a caricature of Kim Jong, whoever, or they create something, a poem, or whatever. None of this is meant to be funny. It's meant to make you twist, and that's an adult kind of humor. All humor is not funny. In fact, the best humor probably isn't funny at all. 866-313-3733. Go ahead and pick another one there, Hutch. This is a great topic. The phones have lit up. Roth Radio, you're in. Go for it.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Excellent, my friend.
I think it's a funny cartoon. We grew up with, like, Bugs Bunny blowing off Daffy Duck's face, and we grew up with the Roadrunner and, you know, the bombs going off and stuff. You know, it's supposed to be funny. There's no doubt that it's pointing out the insensitivity of the Army. But, you know, I think it is a funny cartoon.
I don't know that it makes me laugh out loud, and I want to redefine the word funny with you. Does it make you laugh out loud?
Well, I didn't see the cartoon, but ultimately I would have probably laughed. There's no doubt. Because, again, I think it's like a Saturday Night satire of, you know, that the government really is totally insensitive. I should think that the next caption should say, oh, we'll send you up to the front line as an advisor.
I, you know what? I'm kind of on your side here. I think what the kind of funny that we're describing here isn't the kind of funny where you go, ha, ha, ha. It's the kind of funny when you see that the king has no clothes and everybody else in the audience sees it as well, except for the king. You kind of look at each other co-conspiratorially and you do this. Listen. You know, that kind of a laugh.
Not to mention the fact that ultimately all of our developments in cosmetic surgery really came from people getting their faces blown off in, like, the different wars, Korean War, and stuff like that. We get tremendous medical advances because of taking care of these problems that actually happened because of war.
Well, we make the medical advances in spite of the war here. We make the medical advances because the war happened, and that's an unfortunate. You're seeing a fortunate development out of one of the most unfortunate and horrifying developments, whatever. You jump the topic a little bit, but I think we're in agreement on what's happening with this illustration. I'm hesitant to even call it a cartoon because to me, it's not funny. We use illustrations the way we use photographs. If you can't get the photograph, if it just came out of your imagination, create the illustration and it'll certainly cause people to pay attention to the subject. 866-313-3733. I'm on davidleeroth.com too. There's a lot of people worldwide listening in on the internet, on the stream, and so forth, and will be on later on today, etc. Give us a buzz, though. You can email us, davidleeroth.com or thedavidleerothshow.com. Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. You're in. Go ahead. Who's there?
Hi, this is Brendan.
Brendan, how are you this morning?
Hi, Dave. Great to be talking to you. I'm a big Van Halen fan, so I'm a big fan of yours. Just one point. I completely agree with you in terms of it's so key to raise awareness about these issues, especially for our troops and in support of them. I really think it's very important, though, to go a little bit deeper and just realize that I really believe that campaign finance reform, in terms of the corporations, have so much influence on our politicians. And, this goes in terms of, generating funding for the military and for their medical care, but it goes to so many different...
So how does this impact this illustration here? How does this tie into what we're discussing?
Well, I think your point of raising awareness is extremely important, but... You know, we also have to realize that the corporations don't care about our troops. All the corporations care about is making a profit. And they're going to use the politicians and manipulate the politicians to basically a means to an end for them.
I don't even know that it's so much the politicians at this point in time who aren't getting active here. I don't know that the politicians aren't completely motivated to do nothing until we raise the fuss. Nobody does anything in this country until there's a direct personal result involved, okay? And if it becomes imperative for them to get functional, great. But otherwise, I don't know that it's just the politicians' fault. It's really fun to point at the headmaster and go, that's the reason the school sucks. But no, the reason the school sucks is because all of the parents, and all the parents used to be students too. So hey, we got to look in the mirror on a little of this too. It's fun to point to Washington. It's fun to point to Albany. It's fun to point to wherever the government is sitting. But in fact, I don't see that we've made enough noise about it. This is the first time that something has really occurred where we can talk about it on a show like this in front of literally millions and millions of people. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. Otherwise, hey, did you see that show at midnight on A&E about the poor soldier? Hey, did you see that thing about those kids from Alabama, whatever? It was on Thursday night at 10 o'clock on one channel. That's no way to raise an issue. That's no way to get attention to a specific issue. This is the first time that the public has actually got involved in this topic in a great, big, noisy way. And I'd be very disappointed if we didn't maintain the noise. Thanks for calling. Roth Radio.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Por favor, David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
David Lee
Roth. Your attention, please.
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
I
Roth Radio, live in front of your naked, steaming eyes. David Lee Roth here, and we have a very, very special guest on the phone. Hutch, are you ready to slide him on here? We have John Stossel, ABC's 2020s, a very, very famous personality. Is he coming? Is 2 minutes? Okay, well, he's coming up. John Stossel from ABC's 2020, and he's going to be talking about the new rudeness. Well, I guess you picked the right show for this, huh? Animal, do you think rudeness is an applied art form, or is it just a something that happens when you degenerate?
Well, I think it comes from a lot of alcohol, and you know, that's my experience with it by being a bouncer for many years and a bodyguard. You know, some people are really cool, and then when they get a little alcohol in them, they get a little cocky, because this one guy wanted to fight me, but he kept drinking and sizing me up till I got to his size, and then, you know, he came over. It was over quick, though, you know.
Until you shrank to his size.
Yeah, till I shrunk to his size, but, you know, the alcohol fooled him, so, you know, it didn't work out for him at all.
So alcohol is what causes rudeness in your mind. That's the number one culprit, right?
That's the number one, alcohol.
You may have an actual point here, because a lot of the characters who are in the news today with their supposed, the celebutards, come on, it's half the people who are on Page Six, there's alcohol involved, there's nightlight involved, but what happens when it extends beyond that? That's the question here, because we're going to be talking about things like, does technology like cell phones isolate us and make us forget how to interact with one another? That is an interesting question, because if you've ever been to one of the cool clubs, especially here in New York City, virtually every booth of every table is sitting there text messaging the next booth. Where are you going? When are you getting here? They're cell phoning each other. Maybe they're calling the next booth. I guess not.
Yeah.
Half the time, people are not interacting with each other anymore. I'm also thoroughly convinced that the more time you spend in front of a computer screen, no matter who you're talking to, the more alone you are. Think about that.
Yeah.
I promised no metaphysics before our happy hour. I lied.
But some cell phones that I have to check at the door sometime, if they have a camera on them, I can't let them in, because the girls are so scared they're going to wound up on the internet or something like that. So then we just put a sign up, no cell phones at all.
And how do people take to that? When they
didn't take to it well at all, because every time I catch somebody with a cell phone, I would take it from them and put them up front for them.
Are they talking to on the cell phones usually?
I have no idea, because I guess the show not good or something, because if I'm in a strip club, I ain't got no business on no cell phone. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's almost religious there.
I have a lot of cell phones at my house. I have about maybe 15 cell phones. They be so drunk and they forget them, and the manager give them to me. I'm talking about real good cell phones, man.
Hold on there. Hold that thought. Roth Radio, I'm David Lee Roth, and we have a very special guest here on the phone. It's John Stossel from ABC's 2020. John, are you with us?
I am. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thanks for getting up so early here. We're talking about the new rudeness, and we started off with the cell phones and stuff. What's your general take on this, John? Go ahead.
Well, I think it's much more interesting to talk about people like you and me who get in people's faces. But on our ABC News poll, cell phones was at the top of the list for the new thing that people consider rude.
Why do they consider it rude? Is it because somebody's asking a question and it remains unanswered, or because we're isolating and polarizing from each other?
Those things. And I think also people are personally insulted when you're talking to someone and then they answer their cell phone. It feels like it's taken it away from you. It insults your narcissism.
How many times have you had a conversation with somebody in a moving vehicle, a train, a plane, a bus, or whatever, and then 17 seconds into the supposed conversation, you realize they're not talking to you at all? they're listening on their earphone, and that they're actually conducting a conversation with somebody else.
Well, usually that doesn't happen to me. When people do that, they put their finger up and they point at their ear and let me know.
How many times have you? It becomes almost a zombie-like Romero movie in the airports when I see everybody walking. They're talking to themselves. Talking to yourself used to be the mark of a bizarre religious affiliation. Agreed.
True, but I have to say, I just got one of these Bluetooth earpieces last week, and I'm getting into it.
Okay, and are you getting into it more than actual human interaction?
Well, those are humans at the other end of the phone.
Okay, they're humans at the other end of the phone, but the actual human interaction, where do little kids learn how to make facial construction if we spend so much more time on the phones? Do you think that this is a damaging influence or a positive one?
I think, by and large, cell phones are a positive one. We have video games and more television and the internet, which is, are probably more taking us away from human interaction.
Okay, I agree with that to a degree. But when we start to implicate cell phones into the learning environment, what about grade schools? Do you think cell phones are, is that a rude element, or is that an acceptable thing to start equipping grade school kids? And when should they be allowed to operate them during school hours?
That should be up to schools. If we didn't have a government monopoly in schools, we'd have all kinds of choices. But that most schools say, sure, have cell phones, just we require you turn them off. And if you don't, we're going to confiscate them. But it certainly comforts parents.
Well, I think it certainly comforts parents, but I think kids use it as a distraction for a whole lot of things that require a lot more energy, like reading. Agreed or disagree?
When I see these kids text messaging on their cell phones, I think, hey, they're learning to communicate.
Kind of like when you see a piano player playing with one finger, John? It's a little tough to compose with one finger. Agreed?
That's true.
Okay. What about badly behaved bosses here? Does power give people license to be rude? What's your take on that today? You think it's more than it ever has been?
Can't measure that, but Elizabeth Vargas has a story with talks about her boss who used to put his feet on the table and cut his toenails during meetings. Power does tend to corrupt.
Does it corrupt absolutely, and does it corrupt everybody?
No.
Okay, now most human behavior is completely result-oriented. That's kind of what we're talking about, power. If you do something that makes you feel good about yourself or your contribution, that empowers you. Do you think there's anybody out there who's not performing like that? You think Mother Teresa was doing it purely for everybody else, or was she doing it to empower herself?
I think both. She was doing it to empower herself, and that's why everybody does charity.
Okay, but what I'm talking about here is, does power impact virtually anybody, whether it's the maven at the top of the penthouse who's complaining here in New York City, or somebody like Mother Teresa who's working in there? Do you think she's impervious to that kind of a power?
I guess I don't know what you mean by that kind of power. We all want to feel empowered in our daily lives, and some of us are greedier than others.
Do you think Mother Teresa ever was rude to somebody?
I see. Yes.
I would imagine she was real rude a lot of times, or she would have never gotten anything done there. So do you think that her power changed her, or that she was originally that way?
No clue.
And if you're originally that way, does that qualify as rude or just real ambitious?
I guess rude is defined by how people see you. You don't get to define it for yourself.
Yeah, but isn't the expression, hell is in the eyes of the others? If you define yourself through the eyes of the others, then just about anything you're going to do is rude. We just spent the whole morning today talking, well, the truckers think the commercial is rude, and the gays think that, or the people think that Brokeback Mountain is rude, and we got a political cartoon that's rude. Virtually, you will always have an audience who claims that you're rude if you're looking into the eyes of the others to define that, yes, no?
That's true, and I argue tonight that rudeness is good in many ways because it brings you to truth, and that's why I confront people in my stories. It's why comedians make you a little bit uncomfortable, because they're saying something that's uncomfortable but probably true.
A thin line between rage and genius. So maybe that's the rage that channels into rude. Is that maybe we're translating the rage as rude, but it's not rudeness at all. Maybe
I like that. That's very good.
Thank you.
It's close to truth.
There is a very thin line, if there is one at all, in fact, arguably, between rage and really great work in the job that you do, whether it's somebody with a canvas and a paintbrush, a government concern, somebody who's designing an airplane, a dancer, it doesn't matter. Without the rage, you got nothing. And that rage, more often than not, translates as rude in the eyes of those who aren't pursuing something so ambitiously. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I also think that rage, I get filled with rage at the bull squat of the people who are being polite and avoiding the truth.
Ah, I'm with you. That's part of the reason I moved to New York City from Los Angeles, is that virtually every dinner table confab turns into a promotion meeting.
That's true, and everybody's going, hi, how are you? And they're smiling. Isn't it a wonderful day?
Oh, yeah, and we pranced.
I had to get back to New York to get away from that.
Oh, we pranced through the opening salutations like Lipizzaner stallions. And as soon as, oh, my God, look who's here. It's Stossel. Oh, my goodness, look, honey, it's John. And then everybody dies, like driving a bicycle into a sandpit. I've had people call up before and saying, arguing about us, critiquing about us being supposedly rude. And I maintain that's the only way you're going to advance any liberal art form or government or technological advancement. What about potty mouth, using rude words? Is it ever okay? Simple kind of question. Really interesting, because this is a constant issue in broadcasting. What's your take on this, John?
It's okay with me. That's my story tonight. We went to a comedy club where people expect it, but then we had the waiter curse while he was serving people, and people were pretty...
Are you going to sue him?
Second. And then they laughed. And then we had a comedian pretend to be a poll taker on the street and ask people questions with lots of profanity. And people didn't seem to mind. Very few found it offensive, but of course, we did it in New York City.
Okay, do you yourself swear a lot, John?
A fair amount, yes.
Because I swear a lot. And I learned it from a Boy Scout captain, an ex-gunnery sergeant from two tours of duty in Korea, who was the greatest scoutmaster in everybody. And he used to tell you, you, I blew it there, punch it. He'd go, you freaking guys go to the jamboree and win everything or don't come back. My father was a prison doctor. Same kind of a thing. On the other hand, my mom was from academia, coming out of the Midwest in Chicago, and she never swore. I don't think if you squeezed mom hard enough, she would even say goddamn, okay? So I see it on both ends. I'm wondering if people are resorting to swearing more today because they don't know other words. What do you think?
No, I think people know other words, but swearing helps for emphasis. One girl on the show tonight says, if I tell you that the car, you're about to be hit by a car, look out for the car, you're less likely to pay attention than if I say, look out for the freaking car.
You know what happened to me once? I was at, and this happens quite often, I was at a store, guys are talking to other customers, and then when the customer leaves, then he talks to me and starts using swear words, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm a customer too, but I have long hair, so he thinks he can get away with it.
Well, he's talking to you in your language. He's making he's making an effort to interact, okay? And that swearing is a lot of times specifically that. You're joining a different tribe. I live downtown, which is a very different tribe, and you use that kind of language to say, hey, I'm part of this gang, I'm part of this neighborhood, or whatever. But a lot of times I'm convinced people are swearing just because they don't have any other way to say it, okay? And I'm basing that on, you know, a lot of people, you got to read books, you got to go to a lot of movies, and not just the Disney, in order to get a vocabulary, because you can bust a very serious move on somebody without swearing at all. And what about society's acceptance of rudeness? Do you think we're accepting it more and more from the Paris Hilton generation, John? Is that where we're leading here?
I don't know. We found no proof one way or the other. People have always been rude in different ways. What we consider rude is different. For swear words, it used to be forbidden to say God. That's how phrases like gosh and golly came about. The king would have you branded on the forehead if you used God's name because they thought they were related to God.
I think probably what's translated as rude by most of the general audience, myself included frequently, is that it's not real rude. It's not actually rudeness. It's ambition. I think that in terms of, you know, people making fun of each other, hey, sarcasm and ridicule were refined art forms at my dinner table as a kid when I was growing up. And if you could use sarcasm and ridicule to critique something on television or something that happened to you that day, well, frankly, in the Roth family, you could get away with anything. Probably the best medicine for anything culturally is sarcasm and ridicule when it's used to a positive gain. What do you think? Is that rude?
Maybe, and it's certainly more culturally stimulating, but there's an argument to be said for the California laid-back, let's just all be nice to each other. Maybe that's a more civilized way to be, or happier. It's just more boring to me.
Well, it's certainly half the light in seven amounts of the time here. I think the balance is probably the best. I'm David Lee Roth. I'm talking to John Stossel, ABC TV's 2020, on the new rudeness. I don't think it's so much rude. I think you got a lot more people with ambition here. John, thanks for calling so much.
Thank you.
Have yourself a great afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Roth Radio, don't go away, or we're going to get real rude.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Attention, por favor. David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
Your attention, please.
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
I was a butcher.
It sounds like Roth Radio to me. David Lee Roth, large and in charge, so large I need a barge, Sarge. DavidLeeRoth.com worldwide. I'm getting emails from Vietnam, Philadelphia, Liverpool, England, to Plymouth, Massachusetts, Ecuador, Arlington, Texas. Everybody's weighing in on the email, and I feel like being rude. We just got off the phone with John Stossel here from ABC's 2020, one of the greatest programming moments ever on television. I've been watching it for years, and that's a privilege to talk to somebody like that. And we were talking about the new rudeness, man. Rudeness is everywhere. I don't know that a lot of times ambition isn't misinterpreted as rudeness. And I brought it up. I said, what about Mother Teresa? I says, that's an ambitious person with a heart of gold. Do you ever think that she was rude in an effort to achieve what she achieved? Because she worked in the worst third world creep places, and I don't mean the people, but in terms of the health, the medical, the infrastructure that never existed, probably never will. You had one woman in there. I'll bet you she was constantly in people's faces. I bet you she was constantly knocking on the door of an embassy. I bet she was constantly knocking on the door of the air wing of the local militia or whatever, saying, hey, where are you? Where are you? And I bet you there are a lot of people who decided she's rude. I think that's a different kind of rude than probably happens with, you know, the look that Gwyneth Paltrow always has. I'm going to do it for you here like this. See, you're laughing. Everybody knows exactly the look that I'm talking about. It's a look like you're sat down. Like your underwear is way too tight.
Oh man, a wedgie.
Can you, Animal, make a wedgie face? Go ahead. It's whoa. Well, see, Animal wears like what size 62 belt line?
Oh man,
Animal, that looked like you were enjoying that.
Come on. Now, since he already done got on me, man, I told him I had something in my throat and I needed a hose. He said, "What was you doing last night, man?" I was like, "Oh man, see how people can take things the wrong way."
See, but when you get a wedgie, it's like a whole bed sheet gets sucked up there, man.
No, that's when you get the atomic wedgie.
Atomic wedgie is what Gwyneth Paltrow has that expression all the time. It's that discriminating look, like not that your underwear was too tight, because I believe for a woman underwear could never be too tight.
Never.
But it looks like she sat down in something very cold and very wet, and she was forced to endure quietly. And you know how your face would change. I mean, just from the thermic disruption.
Oh yeah, that
thermic disruption. I like that. Aren't they?
We got to write that down too.
Well, it's a celebutard call to arms. Because I have mid-level fury, and that's why they think that I'm rude frequently. You bet I'm rude frequently.
You're not rude, Dave. Well, maybe a little bit. Wake people up. Well, you just like to wake them up, like you just said.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Some people, you have to get their attention. A very great philosopher said that once. Tony Soprano.
Your fury is mid-level?
I have mid-level fury, and I idle somewhere between being angry and not too angry on a daily basis.
Screw you, Roth.
That was rude, but it was not creative.
So all I could come up with at 8 o'clock in the morning.
You squeaking little...
That was good,
you squeaking little gerbil. See, that was... That was better.
That hurts. We're going to put a gerbil in a vacuum cleaner and put the engine in reverse for you, dog.
That sounds...
You ignorant bridge troll. See?
See,
you can do it without swearing.
Yeah.
I think that 9 times out of 10, if you're not emphasizing, like in Spanish when they put the upside down exclamation point before the sentence so that you know it's going to have impact and you know how to inflect it appropriately, you go, freaking wake up! Halfway through the word freaking, you're up. And especially if there's something like this. Listen, I'll show you. Freaking wake up! There's a shark! You didn't even have to wait for the word shark. you woke up halfway through the first syllable of the first word. I understand that kind of swearing. But if it's all, yo, freak this, man, because that freaking chick was freaked up, man. So I said, I'm going to freak her. I got my freak on, and I freaked the freak out of that freak.
Yeah.
Actually, that sounded pretty good.
Yeah, that was real good, man. But I couldn't do it as good as you, though, Dad, because you know how I used to swear. Because, you know, like, from the rap game, we was like labeled as swearing was our language if you listen to our music and stuff. But, you know, it's like when you're in the hood, that's all you hear is swearing. And so,
well, it's an art form.
It's an art form. Yeah. And I was real good at it till I met you.
Well, you know, we deal with all kinds of people.
Yeah, I know.
Here.
That's why I had to tone it down, man. But I thank you for it, too, because, you know, I dress nice now and stuff. I think I look, cut my hair, and, you know, it's
and
a
you
new
can,
look for me.
And you can swim.
Yes, I can.
Taught you how to swim,
yes,
too.
Yes, you did. Taught me how to swim.
At,
all that.
At so, great peril to my life. Freak, yeah. Roth Radio. 866-313-3733. Be rude or be gone. Get on. Come on. Here yeah. we go.
Here we go. Here we go. Get it on.
Who's on the line?
Lisa.
Lisa, you rude little tramp. What do you want?
I'm not a rude little tramp.
Well, you could be on a Friday night, given the right lighting, correct?
Well, it was last night, but anyways, I love your show most of the time.
Okay, Lisa, what's up?
And I just wanted to say I love you and Dan Bunt.
You?
And I don't think Mother Teresa was rude.
Oh, no, no. I don't think she was rude as a way of life. But what I'm saying is that
you know
frequently
why?
What is rude is mistranslated. She had a great ambition. And I'm saying that frequently you got to be rude to exercise that ambition. Agreed or disagree?
I disagree because I'm a nerd.
Okay, but you're working in a very different context. You're probably not in a third world stinking jungle or a place like Bombay or Calcutta or something
well,
like that.
I've been in houses that have been like the jungle, you know.
I beg your pardon?
I've been in houses that look like a jungle.
Yeah, and when you had to deal with the local constabulary, were you polite and refreshing, and how far did you get?
And I smiled so nice.
I'm sorry, darling, your phone is fizzling there. Did we lose her?
No, I'm standing in my closet.
You're standing in your closet. No, no. Brokeback yes. Mountain was the subject yesterday, darling.
No, I know. Well, he told me he's got a good signal. I only have a good signal in my closet.
Well, it sounds like you have a decent point, and I'm gonna argue with you a little that frequently, in terms of a positive ambition, you gotta be rude. And when I bring up Mother Teresa, we would think of her as a paragon of virtue, somebody who would never swear, somebody who would never pound on a door late at night, somebody who would never insult somebody. But I maintain that absolutely, she would have had to, because I've been in those parts of the world, as you have, and you get nothing done until there is a lot of noise and confrontationalism. She achieved and accomplished so much, I can't believe for a second that she was not rude frequently in order to get those things accomplished, and I supported her in her ambition. Do you or do you not?
I agree with that, because you know what?
Well, finally.
The only thing I expect from my kids is when I'm rude to them.
Okay, being rude is not a way of life. It's a tool
no, it's
in
not.
Your arsenal. It's just
yeah.
another tool in the kit. If you adopt it as a way of life, well, then you're stupid. Then you just don't know how to be any other way. Think of it as just another mask to wear to create something good, possibly. Don't go
yeah.
away. Don't go away. I've got a real special guest coming up here. Somebody who is the opposite of the rude. Roth Radio, good to go. Ha ha.